Hello?
Oh no, she's dead.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
It's all shits and giggles till somebody dies.
Death!
A funny business.
Oh yeah. With me, Natasha Spencer-Levy.
And myself, Becky Briggs.
Oh my gosh. I'm so happy to see you.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. It is the pods, the show's day.
It's really spooky in here.
It really is the branding of the day. At the end of the day, this is what we've been waiting for. Halloween is the epitome of death funny business. We are thinking about all things spooky.
Been waiting for this day. And
we
for
really
those
have.
Who can't see us,
you're having a really good time.
I'm playing with cobwebs.
Lani has set up the most fantastic.
Oh, it's amazing.
Little spooky what's the word? Vignette
set. And Natasha has a spider on her head.
I do. Look at him. We have to name him. What's his name? I wanted to call him Craig.
Isaac.
Isaac is too posh.
I don't know. I think
Isaac is like a posh private school child.
Okay,
we don't
have to call him Isaac.
Craig is like a good, well-rounded fella.
I love Craig. How are you feeling about Halloween?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie today, Rebecca. I am a little bit worse for wear. Normally, Halloween is such a big thing for me, and I do a lot of crafting.
I thought you were going to say you're not dressing up or
anything. Oh, well, this is the thing. Normally, so basically, at the street I live on, we take it really seriously. There's like a bunch of kids. People like come from far and wide to our street. It's like really famous for being like a really good street. Partly because I stay in character the whole evening and like scare children. Like historically have like made a lot of kids cry. But this year, I have like some hand issues that like make me like really painful in my hands, so I can't do any of my crafting, which means that I haven't really done anything for Halloween, so I'm a little bit forlorn.
That's really sad, but we've still got sweets you can dive into.
This is true, and
I can feed you sweets if you want.
I feel like even though we can't craft, I can still have a very spooky fun time because I love Halloween.
I don't really get Halloween. I think it's probably because I can't normally decide what I want to dress up as, and also I'm never invited to any parties.
Okay, well we'll change that
so
very shortly. But it's just an excuse for me to feel like a normal person dressed up in my normal gothic garb. So I just want to dress up like a tiny Victorian child with consumption.
Well, this is the thing, because like I was looking at Halloween costumes and you can dress up as like a cowgirl or...
Yeah, that's not my fave.
Charlie XCX. And
what
I was like,
that?
Why would you dress up as Charlie XCX for Halloween?
At the end of the day,
but I don't really get the whole like, you know...
No, I don't get that bit. Like when I'm talking about Halloween, like this year, what I wanted to do was like... tiny haunted cracked porcelain doll that I've been seeing kind of around. I wanted to like paint my face in clay and then crack it all up and then like be like and for anyone who can't see me because it's an audio show, I was just trying to do like a little bit of like a kid on a music box situation.
I find you so interesting.
Oh, it's really fun inside my brain. It's really cool. And last year, so a few years ago now, maybe last year I did this really scary witch, and I just love dressing up and being a freeing freak. Just want to be spooky and scary.
On the topic of spooky and scary,
oh yeah, what
we've got some guests today.
We do. What a shock.
I know. So people don't have to just listen to us ramble about Craig on your head.
Oh, Craig.
Craig's a spider. Craig. So we've actually got today
Danielle
Close, who is a psychic medium.
This I'm super excited for. I want to ask so many questions. I have so many feelings and thoughts and questions in my brain.
And it's going to be really hard to kind of take it seriously when you've got...
What, Craig on my head?
Craig on your head.
I'd also like to point out, because I don't feel like we've described what Becky's wearing on her head, which is a sparkly pumpkin antenna and a ghost antenna. So apologies for her taking the piss out of Craig. Craig is looking his best, actually.
Okay, apologies.
Sorry,
apologies.
I have to stand up for Craig. Anyway, who else have we got?
We've also got Paola Ferragrino.
Oh.
Do you know who that is?
I do. She's the cultural ambassador for Mexico, which is pretty darn cool.
So fucking cool.
I know. And she's going to come and talk to us about the Day of the Dead, which is super, super soon.
And her festival, which I think she will have to find out, but I'm pretty sure that she's kind of brought that to the UK.
Yep. She's in
London.
Charge.
So we've got lots to kind of unpack there. in this spooky, spooky room.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Spooky room. I'm never ready. But I will gird my loins just for you.
Good, good.
I'm doing it right now.
She's doing it. She's doing it.
FUBAR Radio.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Welcome to the show, Danielle. Close, close.
Thanks. Close.
I was close.
You were close. Yeah.
Close.
We're really excited to have you on board.
So excited.
You are, and you'll have to correct us if we're wrong in any of this, but we believe we've invited a psychic medium.
We believe you have. I have more faith in our producer Yasmin, who is the most amazing person on the planet.
And from what we have here, you are a fifth generation from a fifth generation of psychics in your family.
Yes. That is really cool.
Since the 1800s.
Wow. I know. Wild. It goes way back.
That is. Yeah. Anyway.
And crazy. You became aware of your abilities. I don't know if that's the correct term to use.
I use skill.
Skill?
Because I think if you say ability, like, people get ego-y. Yeah. Or like gift. I hate the word gift.
Okay.
Ooh, so icky. So I always say skill. Like, some people are really good at cooking and I just happen to be good at this thing.
Yeah. For sure.
So like a skill.
For sure.
Yeah.
100%. Which is a pretty niche thing to...
It's very niche. Real niche skill.
At the age of five?
Yeah, so I knew at five something was up. I didn't know what it was, though. I knew something was up. Do you want me to tell you how?
Like, yes,
well,
please.
Yeah, because something was up. Like, I feel like if I say, I kind of realised that I was good at singing at five, that's because someone might have said, you're quite a good singer. So how does that work
case? No one said. So basically, every time I tell the story, people are like, what? You need to do it again. But it wouldn't work if I did it again. I was really, really young. I was 5 years old. I was at my grandparents' house. I was actually watching the lottery. And I wrote down the numbers before they went on the screen.
No, I swear to God.
But I didn't really know what I was doing. I just knew that something was weird and wrong. And to be honest, it was petrifying. Like, until I was 25 or 22, this has been like petrifying my whole life. This isn't like a fun thing to have.
Mm-hmm. Did you win any money though?
No, I didn't even know what lottery was. I just remember the numbers and writing it and being like, what? And then being like, what? And I instantly knew not to tell anyone. So I didn't tell anyone. And I don't know if that is like years of persecution of witches or whatever, just inbuilt in my system or all my ancestors who didn't tell anyone, all inbuilt in their systems, but I never told anyone. And I would just know things from a very young age I shouldn't know. And it was really, really terrifying until we get further along in the story and it's not so terrifying. Yes. But as a kid, it's not that fun when you're out of control of your body and you don't know why things are happening. It's really, really scary.
But were you aware of your family having...
No, this is all like in my 20s. Yeah, so it's completely like... I would get like these things that came in and I was like, I am crazy. I need to not tell anyone. There's something wrong. And my immediate thing was there's something wrong even at 5 years old, which is really scary to like, and I just had a lot of fear as a child, even though I had an amazing childhood and like loving parents, just it was all very held within me.
You knew that there was something going on that wasn't quite normal. With the air quotes, by the way, people who can't see me.
And I controlled it with OCD. That's actually what I did. So I was like, okay, I'm going to get in control of this. And so I came out with like OCD, but it was a symptom of actually being a psychic and really intuitive and not having a name or a label and knowing what it was.
Wow.
So interesting.
Wild.
So psychic.
Yeah.
Are you a psychic medium and a psychic? Is that the same thing?
You can't really be a medium without being psychic. By the way, I should just say it's off now. So it's not like on all the time.
Ooh.
So it's like totally off now. Like,
how do you know when it's on and off?
Because I love to turn it on and turn it off. So I learned how to do that as well. Mm. So it's totally off now. It's not like an appropriate scenario to be on.
Cool.
Being on the tube and stuff, so terrible idea to be open.
You just, you're going to get bombarded with
and like
feelings.
I don't want that on the tube 100%. Or on the train or like when I'm not in the frame of mind. Mm. So psychic, you have to be a psychic to be a medium, basically. Mm. So I'm a psychic medium. So psychic is really tuning into energy, tuning into what's going on with someone, what's going on in their body, like where they've been, where they're going. That's all like reading energy, psychic. So that's the future telling stuff, but it's really dependent on what your energy is today.
Mm.
And then the mediumship side of it is connecting with those on the other side or whoever, like however you believe it. Like, we all have different views on what that looks like, but connecting with others on the other side. And I'm the phone line between whatever that world is and this world here. So you give a psychic mediumship reading, you do a psychic reading based on what someone needs to see, and then mediumship is them like helping me out to give a message as well. So it's all conveying messages basically to help someone.
You can hear what someone is saying on the other side.
We have different, so there's these things called clairs. So there's, I think it's five or six. I should really know. I trained for a long time. But there's five or six clairs. Clairsentience, clairaudience, clair, like these things called clairs. They're like your five senses, basically. Mm-hmm. six senses. And I personally see, hear and feel. So that's how I use my skill. So I mainly feel. So if you came in for a reading, I would immediately feel in my body what's going on in your body. And that's my tool for getting in.
Poor thing.
No. And then I
would
hear,
be if I was there.
So if someone's hungover, I'm like, whoa.
Oh yeah.
What, you can tell if someone's hungover?
You can feel it in the air. Yeah.
Smell their beer breath.
Yeah, even without smelling it. And then I hear a lot of words. So when I'm talking to someone, I'm often listening and talking to you at the same time. And then I see a lot of visual pictures. So when I'm reading someone, I'm looking at you in the eye, but I'm also looking up here in another part of my brain. And that's where I'm getting like quite interesting symbols, which sometimes don't make sense to me. And I just say it and it always makes sense to the other person, but I don't always know what I'm seeing or hearing. You just have to trust what comes through. There's a whole thing here.
Can I ask, how do you train?
I'm glad you asked this, because it's really important.
Because I saw this and I was like, there's a London School of Psychics?
Studies.
Qu'est-ce que c'est?
There is. So it's super, super important. If you ever go to anyone, make sure they've got training, make sure they've got insurance. Mm. There's so many charlatans out there. There's so many people that are doing this. Like, have you seen on TikTok, like all the crazy people on TikTok who are like, let me do a reading.
Like your tarot
live,
or whatever.
Like, absolute, that is like fluff, woo-woo, like not great. The training I did was at the London College of Psychic Studies. It was been an institution since the Victorian times. It's where they used to study on people like me. And what's really crazy is we think my great-great-granddad was one of the scientists that did the studying on people there. I know it's wild. We've got like all these weird records.
Wow.
And so they did lots of scientific experiments. Obviously in the Victorian era, it was like kind of like crazy out there. And there's a lot of spiritualism. Mm. Now the school is not a spiritualist school, but it helps people like me go through training. I did 7 years of training where you sit in a circle every week and you learn off your teacher about what different energies mean, what different feelings mean, what different symbols and messages. And there's like a host of other courses. It's not just psychic. So you can do shamanic, you can do healing. They're an accredited healing association where you can officially be trained. And it's like super important that people know about this, because everyone in my group, we're all really normal. I have another job as well, so we're all really normal people. There's like lawyers. I have a skincare brand, so I have like another completely normal job.
Oh my gosh, that's so different.
And then I do this as something because I feel like I've been given this skill, this thing, and I have to like help people know that it's a real thing and that you can actually help them. So the training is super important. Yeah.
What I find really interesting is your ability to be able to I just got stuck in the cobwebs. That your ability to turn your brain, not your brain, but on and off.
Yeah.
I can't. Like, does that give you headaches?
It used to. But that's the thing I went to train for. The most important thing is learning that, because you do see so many people who are just on too much and they're kind of just like not really here.
Overwhelmed.
And it's so important when you're dealing with like really heavy stuff or you're dealing with like the general public all the time.
Yeah.
I don't want to take that stuff home with me. So like turning it off is me cleansing it out and turning it off. And so I just block it out completely and then I can get on with a normal life. And then when I go into a sitting, I'm then back in that space again. So that is a really hard skill to learn. And that's what took so long to really master.
I can imagine.
To turn it on and off.
Well, it's almost, you know, you're kind of a therapist to some people, or it's tell me if I'm wrong, but I can imagine being, you know, one-to-one with someone and you're delivering a message that maybe isn't the most, I don't know if you've experienced this, but isn't maybe what they want to hear.
Yeah, that's also why you go to train.
How do you deal with that?
You have to know how to deliver a message. You have to be a people person in this job. There's so many people who are amazing psychic mediums but terrible with people, and they're just a terrible psychic medium.
Yeah, like, horrible experience.
Your mom has a
terrible
great
time.
Yeah.
And sometimes you do get messages that are not always like great, but it's my job not to drop that on someone and be like, boom, here's this, go home and carry that. That's not the point of coming to a reading. If something comes through that's maybe not the best about a relationship, say something comes through and I can tell it's not good, and the person in front of me knows it's not good, but we don't want to say it, the way I deliver that message to them is really, really important. So I might say something like, how are you feeling about the relationship, so that I know that they know that. Then I can be like, this is what it looks like to me, this is what it looks like to you, maybe you should think about like tuning into yourself more, or doing something, and it just opens their eyes to it rather than just dropping it on them.
Yes,
if
sure.
I go in and say this guy's not right for you, you need to break up with him.
Yeah, that's
not good for anyone.
And also, people normally double down, so you just end up kind of like,
So that's part of the training.
How do you approach a reading? Like, how does can you just walk us through a little bit about like how the first initial meeting happens?
So I do half an hour and an hour readings, both online and in person. And people always get really weirded out by online, but Zoom works exactly the same way. Like, it's literally, don't have to be in the room. Energy is energy, and you can tune into it like wherever, because it's kind of all based on time, and time isn't really a real concept. So that's when you get really scientific.
I can't quite comprehend that, but yeah,
I love that stuff.
But I've had some weird experiences where I'm like, well, time isn't real. Like, it just can't be.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't, like, that wouldn't work if time was real. Mm. So if someone comes for a reading, if they have an hour, they'll come and sit down and I'll give them the intro of, like, what we're going to do. Mm. And then I will literally just say, like, put record if you want, take notes, whatever you want to do, and just sit back and relax. I'm just going to talk at you. And I will check in and see if it makes sense. If it doesn't make sense, please let me know, because I don't want to give you a message that's going down a wrong angle. Or if I'm saying something that is not resonating with you, it's my job to change how I'm expressing it. Some people do really well with visual stuff and symbols. Some people just want, like, a clear-cut answer. So I normally get that feeling for that. But if for some reason it's not working, or sometimes when people get a message and they don't want to hear it, they say it's wrong. And I then get the message 10 times and I'm like, okay, I know that they don't want to hear this. So it's my job to give it in a different way.
Different way.
That's how you do it. And so I just talk for, like, an hour, half an hour.
Wow.
But I always start by tuning into my body. So what's happening in my body is what's happening in your body. And I kind of give an overview of what's going on energetically with the person first before we go into the stuff around them. And then we normally go into some ancestral stuff and look at family patterns. And I see quite a lot of blocks and patterns in someone's life.
Mm.
And often the things that people have hidden really well, I'm able to see.
Well, what does that look like for you? So you're saying, like, patterns and... But
so if there's a pattern, go stick with relationships, for example. It's the easiest one. If there's a pattern in relationships, for example, I'm able to see, okay, does that pattern start with this person? Does it start with their parents?
Something
start
like...
with generational stuff? Where does that come from? Or, like, where did that start? So I'm always able to go back to the start of a pattern and then be like, this is where it started. How do we break this so that you don't have this anymore in your life? That's kind of part of it as well. And the stuff that's hidden, the blocks that people are hiding away from themselves most often, that's about me bringing them very carefully to the front and being like, right, I can see you're still harboring some pain from this thing that happened, like, 8 years ago with an ex or whatever. Let's kind of bring that to the surface in the room, see what that looks like, and see what it would feel like to put that down. So it's not just let's predict what's happening tomorrow. It's very like, let's go deep and look at, like, what's going on in your life and how I can guide you so you have the answers for yourself. Because it's also not my job to tell someone what to do.
Absolutely.
It's my job to give them clarity on what's going on, and then they can make the decision or the choice. And that's part of the stigma, I think.
It's very interesting because it sounds very similar to, like, the way that my therapist operates, which is very interesting. And, like, you know, the intuition of, like, kind of being like, okay, so I can tell that this thing is actually really upsetting you. So, like, should we, like, not skirt over it and, like, let's actually talk about this bit?
Yeah.
I wonder if you know, when you talk about misconceptions or anything like that, like, what would you say to people who maybe don't believe, or how do you handle that? Because obviously it's so... Obviously, people who are booking in with you are not are probably not going to be like, I don't believe in any of this. Yeah. Like, well, what's the point of coming in?
I was going to say, have you had that?
Yeah. I've had two instances. One of them, she's so lovely, but she booked under a different email, like, with a different email address, like, completely different name. And I didn't, because I don't even really look at names before they come in. I just, like, they sit in front of me and it's done. And then at the end, she was like, oh, I actually booked under my boyfriend's email because I just didn't want you to Google me first. And I was like, I literally don't have time to Google. I have two jobs. I gotta have time.
So she was skeptical, even though she was booking.
But then she booked again and she's lovely and she's a client now. But it's just, that was an interesting one. And then I have had a couple of people where it's either been I always say you should never gift someone a session with a psychic medium, but it has been a gift. And I've always checked and they've always wanted it, but maybe they haven't wanted it as much as they think they have. And then they sort of come in a bit closed up and you can tell. And then one of the questions is, sometimes do you get no messages? That does happen. I've had a couple of occasions where someone sat in front of me and I've been like, no, and my guides have been like, absolutely not. Like, it's just been someone who's like weird or not right for me or doesn't fit. And, like, it's not worth the energy of me going into it. And so sometimes when there's no messages, it's just not the right fit for me and I have to send them to someone else.
And so can it be quite traumatic? Because I think I really would love to do this. I think, like, you, I have a therapist who's very in tune with energy and symbolism and stuff. But if I was to go in, could I experience a traumatic? Would it be a traumatic event for me going in and then leaving? Because I think that would be my hesitancy in terms of learning about something about myself that I don't want to know.
And then
I walk out going, shit, what do I do with this bit of information?
I don't think you'd ever learn anything that's super shocking.
No, you might find out some stuff. So first of all, I should just clarify that it's not therapy, just by law.
Yes.
For sure. Okay, it's not therapy.
It's actually class PSA. Entertainment, which is, like, really offensive.
Is
that's
it?
Ridiculous.
The last person who went to jail was not that long ago.
There's
that guy, yeah.
That's
so, like,
entertainment.
Yeah, yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's life.
Don't worry, I'm going to change it in my lifetime.
Yes.
I'm going to make it a thing. But at the moment, it's class entertainment, so, like, we don't get sued. And so the insurance is, like, a whole thing. So it's not therapy.
Okay.
But my readings are really fun. So, or yeah. like they're very light. I'm a very light psychic medium. Mm. So even if I did get something really heavy, I would never deliver it in a heavy way. And I'd never tell you something that I would just wouldn't get the information if you weren't meant to know it. Mm. Like that's never happened to me ever in my life where I've been given something and I've said it and it's been really bad and they weren't meant to know. That just wouldn't happen. Mm. I don't really even get that like bad information. Like that's just not my style of reading. Mm. Mine is very positive, uplifting, give you clarity, direction, communicate with the people that you want to communicate with. And like it's just about creating connections and keeping everything in a circle. Mm.
It's really wholesome. I love
that's
that.
How it feels to me.
I think I was wondering, because I think both of us would be interested in this, because I don't know if the reason we have this podcast is both of our parents, two of our parents have passed away. Yeah. Well, my mum and her dad. And I wonder, like, when it comes to talking to people who have passed on, like, is that something that you do and you genuinely, like, have connections
with?
Yeah,
totally.
Really?
And it's so beautiful. I think that's the thing, is that it feels really scary. Like, even when I first started doing this work, and one of your questions was, like, when was the first time you had an encounter with a spirit?
Yeah.
It was so interesting because I didn't know what I was encountering for so long. And then in my training, you get to understand the subtleties between the energy and, like, what you're picking up on. And when you do connect with others on the other side, you're connecting with the energy of that person.
Wow.
So the soul and the energy of that person. And I'm able to describe them. So they come in, I describe them, I describe what they're like. Mm. And how they were in life is how they are over there too. So often funny people are, like, really funny. And I'll just start laughing and I'll be like, why am I laughing? Oh, because they're really funny. And I'm like, oh, they're really funny in life. And the messages they come through with are very, like, to the point. And when I have a lot of readings myself for stuff going on in my life, like when I'm going through stuff, I get my people. And my relatives are so aggy with me, especially when it comes to relationships. They're very, like, firm and aggy, but that's how they were in life. So I, like, know exactly that's what it's like. So they come through in the same way. And quite often when someone's passed over in a traumatic way, that's the thing we're left with here, that trauma, that kind of, I wish I'd said something or I'd done something.
Yeah.
That talking to them on that side and connecting with them clears that bit.
Mm.
And that's the most beautiful part of my job, because people hold on to stuff and these guys hold on to stuff too. But when I can connect you both together, it sort of clears that and it makes it so much softer. So it's just softening it.
Yeah,
you know?
There's so much, I don't know, I think there's a lot of like skepticism and stuff, but I feel like you've definitely kind of like cleared that up and it sounds like the most wholesome, lovely experience.
And an interesting way to deal with grief as well. And like,
and it doesn't mean
an
grief
alternative.
Doesn't exist. Like, I go through grief all the time and like I have a very interesting relationship with death and what that means because I just believe no one really passes. The energy just goes somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So like we're still here and they're still there. We're in a different place.
Yeah.
So it's my job to just connect to a different vibration and bring them over here. And like that's how it works. So it's a different relationship with death, but I still feel grief all the time.
Mm.
So I still have the human emotion and like we should all do.
Absolutely.
But it just means that like maybe it's not all what we think it is.
Yeah.
Well, let's leave it on that note, Danielle. I'm really sorry. I have so much more I want to ask you.
Anytime.
And it doesn't actually even feel spooky with these things here. I feel really relaxed.
I feel very relaxed. You're a very relaxing presence.
Talking about energy, you have very, very
I don't think
nice
I've ever
energy.
Been this quiet in my life.
I know.
I'm all
what
chill.
What have you done
feel,
to her?
I feel like I'm
get
at peace.
Craig back.
Yeah.
Craig, come back. Well, thank you so much,
thanks
Danielle. It's been really, really interesting.
And maybe we can come and maybe we can come get a reading soon.
We'd love that. You're Brighton based,
but online too.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Lovely. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
FUBAR Radio. Welcome back to Death of Funny Business with myself, Becky Briggs and Tasha.
Spencer Levy.
Lovely.
That's me.
We are so excited. We are here with Paola Ferragrino, and we have heard that you are a cultural ambassador for Mexico and the director of the Day of the Dead Festival. So where should we begin, Tash?
I don't even know.
This is so exciting. Thanks for being here and like spending your time talking to us. I think, is the Day of the Dead Festival this week?
Oh, my pleasure. Yes, yes. So the festival is happening on Saturday and Sunday. And, kind of official days in Mexico are Friday and Saturday. So it neatly falls into those days.
Perfect. A weekend holiday this year.
No. And so is to be, just to clarify, what's your role then? Have you kind of brought it to the UK in London? The festival?
Well, this goes back a little bit. I started doing Day of the Dead events when my son, who's now 18, was little, with other members of the Mexican community, just, you know, little gatherings where we would build up our little shrines together to remember our loved ones and, you know, have a food and drink as a celebration. But then a few years later, I joined Oaxaca, the restaurant group.
Yes.
And I had the opportunity to host some really big Day of the Dead festivals there with them. So I think that's how it all started, really, in London and the UK with Oaxaca.
Oh,
that's
amazing.
So cool. Also, love Oaxaca.
Love Oaxaca. Love Oaxaca. I love Oaxaca. I'm so glad you brought that out because I freaking love Oaxaca.
Can you tell us a little bit about like the Day of the Dead festival? Because I think in the UK, it's kind of, I don't know, we might dress up, well, as if a Halloween, and we don't really know, yeah, kind of the real cultural significance behind the festival. And I think it'd just be good to find out a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, it was a really good opportunity that came along from the love of Mexican food in the UK to take such a wonderful celebration, wonderful Mexican holiday, and show it to the British people and say, look, you know, because I feel that the British and the Mexicans have so much in common when they learn how we celebrate our loved ones who have passed. Local people really kind of get into it. They think, oh, wow, you know, I can speak about this. I can actually think about all the wonderful memories I have. And I can join the celebrations with these fun Mexican people, you know. And festival is an opportunity just, you know, to do that, bring food together, bring, you know, it's really important to us, bring the Mexican community together. Because, you know, most of the Mexican community is very much mixed into the British culture, and they have British husbands, you know, Mexi-Brit children, and they bring their work colleagues. And it's just a really good chance to come together, remember, talk about our loved ones, you know, celebrate at home, speak to the children about those things. And I think that's how it's really kind of caught on from our side with the festival.
I think that's beautiful, because I think in the UK, we just, if you say someone's dead, it's like, let's wear black, let's not talk about it. And like our culture is just forget about it and move on. Whereas in Mexico, it's let's celebrate life and let's, you know, eat food and spend time actually remembering the person instead of like, I don't know, like my dad's anniversary. Yeah. We make sure that we celebrate him, I don't know, have a gin and tonic or I don't know, something. But I think it's quite common.
It's similar.
Which
but
it's a bit more like civilized. Like, let's just have a toast to dad.
It's a bit more like,
and then we'll just go back and kind of, you know, put on Friends or the television. You know, it's not quite the same
scale.
I feel like it's a community feel as well. It's from what you're describing, which I think is so lovely. Is the Wi-Fi still working? Cool. So that's kind of what I find so lovely about it.
And
yes, and because, you know, Mexico, it's such a big country, and each kind of zone, each state in Mexico celebrates in such a different way that it's, to me, it's really exciting because it's like endless opportunity on the monarch butterfly, which is a butterfly from the state of Michoacán. And when those butterflies migrate and they come back to Mexico, it's around this time of the year. So we think, oh, look, you know, the souls are returning. The souls are coming to be with us these days. So this year we're taking that as the symbol and, you know, we're putting it across the festival. And, you know, I'm excited for years to come and we can explore lots of different things.
Yeah, for sure. That's so beautiful that like butterflies symbolize loved ones coming back for
that.
The day.
That's so lovely, like peaceful and wholesome. Love that.
When it comes to the actual day, would you say that there's like a we've just had a psychic medium on, actually. Would you say that there's like you can feel spirits, or would you say that there's more of like it's more of a symbolic offering?
Oh, I think it comes down to each of us. To me, definitely. It's like, wow, today is the day, you know, personally, my grandparents, it's like, come, you know, be with me. Let's think about all the things that we did together, all the memories we have together today. You can kind of accompany me throughout the day and we can, you know, just as long as I remember you, you will not be gone, kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Is it bad to talk about Coco, the film?
Yes, and Coco was wonderful to all of us Mexicans, you know, to get people to understand in a really easy way. And I personally, I watch it with my younger son every year. It's just like one of those traditions now at home, and I love it.
But is it a
carefully and the people involved?
Is it a fair depiction of what the festival's actually like, the film?
Yes, I mean, I think the festival, the celebration have evolved so much. Even James Bond had something to do with it. The parade in Mexico City now is absolutely huge. And it's you know, taking a little bit of what's on James Bond, and every year it gets bigger. And this is something of recent years. But Mexicans, we're very modern, but we're traditional at the same time. And we embrace how things evolve. So things keep changing, and you know, they say, oh, the Katrinas are not traditional. No, they came from recent times, you know, the face painting.
Ah.
But we embrace it, we love it. You know, it's a way for us to join in the community. Mm. And I think evolving is a wonderful thing. And I don't want to be a purist. You know, why we love, you know, things that come with times.
100%. It's kind of like if anything evolves, like with any of like holidays, like Christmas. I mean, things change about Christmas all the time. So I suppose that with something like the Day of the Dead, it's exactly the same situation where, and it's actually lovely that there's, you know, talking to someone who's like interested in letting it grow and become different, and like, you know, that's so interesting.
And so, what does the
day? Yes, I love it.
What does the day look like on? Where is it in London, did you say, the festival?
We have a celebration going on Saturday and Sunday. So Saturday we're focusing on more like grown-ups, because Sunday is going to be a family day with lots of children's things going on. But on Saturday we have a parade with live music. We have folklore groups, dance groups coming together from across the country. We have the Latin American dance group coming from Belfast, from Manchester, and the one from London. And they're going to be joining and doing a parade together with a mariachi. Then we also have an Aztec band dancing. And very importantly as well, we have a lot of food.
Yeah, oh, that sounds amazing.
That sounds awesome.
Sounds so fun. That's where I want to be. And is there space, you know, is there a day or a time where people can kind of be upset about, you know, losing someone, as amazing it is to celebrate their life, it's also a very heavy feeling.
Absolutely.
Is there space to grieve in a more, I don't know, in a more of a solemn way?
Yeah, that's a really good question. We have in a dedicated room, we have a big shrine being set up by members, scholars, Mexican scholars who are currently in the UK. And that's going to be a space for reflection. That's where the candles are, the photos are. You're welcome to add a photo of your loved one if you like. And that's the space where the shrine is. It's always a place where people don't really talk much. So it's just a place where people come in, think, they keep quiet, you know, reflect, look at the items, and then you step out and, you know, you can go and have some fun. But yes, we have that shrine area for that.
That's really nice.
That's so beautiful.
And it also just means that I think on anniversaries in, you know, sorry not to compare it to the UK, but I'm just trying to think of how it's so lovely the way that you do it, is that we just kind of, you know, we'll make it a really miserable day. And not everyone, that's not fair. But I don't look forward to like any time to grieve necessarily, because I find that too much. Whereas I can imagine if I was in a sense of like, I was in a community and there was food and music, and like, there's a time where it's like, no, you can grieve here.
Yeah.
And it's a safe space for you to grieve.
Yeah.
And also just have a nice time and celebrate.
And like, more of a celebration than a dragging.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Are there any misconceptions about the Day of the Dead?
Yeah, so I still see a lot of people doing, oh, Day of the Dead / Halloween party. And it's just like, oh, no, you know, do a bit of research.
Absolutely.
Day of the Dead, you can have a party too, but, you know, nothing to do with Halloween. So I think that's one thing that us Mexicans don't like when they put us into the same bag.
Box. Yeah,
like,
absolutely. No. Yeah, well, there's so much more to it than a Halloween costume absolutely. From Amazon, isn't it?
Absolutely. They are very, definitely. Very separate holidays. Yeah, for sure.
And thank you so much, Paola, for joining us. And good luck on Saturday and Friday. What was it, Friday? Is that this weekend? And thank you so much for sharing. And it's been really interesting to hear it from, you know, from your side. And hopefully we can take it on board.
And where are your celebrations starting in London this week?
Yes, so we are at Hackney Bridge. It's amazing. Very close to Hackney Wick Station and Stratford Station. Yes. And it's a beautiful space that has a big garden where we're going to have the food and drink and the parade. And then we have a little venue where we're going to have live music. And there's something going on all day Saturday until 2 a.m. and then Sunday from 12 until 8.
Ooh.
So come along. It's free to get in, you know. So.
Oh, it sounds like such a fun party. Maybe we'll come.
I actually might
come.
Should we go?
I think we should. I kind of want to.
That sounds
so glad
fun.
You said that. I was like, yeah, can we go?
Please.
And do people dress up? Or what's the dress code?
That's a good question.
Yes, a lot of people already come dressed up from home. We also have face painters there. So get their faces painted, and we have in the market somebody who sells flower garlands for your head. So people,
crowns.
You know, very quickly kind of can become a part, you know, of the festival.
I love a festival. Oh, thank you so much for giving up your time to talk to us. And have a lovely weekend. We might see you there.
And have a brilliant Day of the Dead.
Yes, do.
Thank you. You too. Yay. Remember your loved ones.
We will.
Thank you, Paola. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
I feel like we've had such a very lovely, such a like wholesome show.
I know.
I was expecting kind of like a spooky, silly show. And we've ended up kind of having this really,
really
nice, like loving, like... slightly serious, but also like just really.
Yeah, it's never been like.
Death, I have learned a lot today.
Death, I don't know. Death of funny business. I mean, it's been a bit funny. Like we've
it
not.
It is a bit funny.
It is a bit funny how we all deal with things so differently. I just want to say, I feel really good.
I'm so glad.
After that,
Danielle is. I'm actually a little bit. I don't know how to explain myself. Like, tell me how you're feeling.
And when she was talking, I felt my eyes suddenly well up.
I also felt a bit
emotional. I felt at the back of my eyes, something happened. And there was like this twinge in my body.
Mm.
And then after she left, I suddenly felt like...
yeah.
Like after being with a really good friend and you're
you
really
feel,
happy.
I don't... I'm going to say something a bit... I've never said this out loud.
What?
But I've also... occasionally people call me a witch because I also have things a little bit sometimes I get a bit like intuition-y and I felt and this is don't get upset but I felt like the sadness and I was like she's brought mum and dad here like no I know it's like gonna make
no,
me sad
that actually makes
but
me feel you, really weird
but did you not feel like there was like I don't know like I felt so like
I why am like, I tearing up?
I'm so sorry. I
can't.
I didn't want to make you cry.
No, it's not in a sad way. It's just like an emotional response.
But literally, that's how I felt. I was like, she was like looking at me, and I was like, and then I said, I asked the thing about like, could you like reach out to mum if like you could? I'm getting upset, and she was like, yeah, and I was like, oh shit, like the concept of like, oh god, yeah.
I don't know if I would want that, but. I do and I don't.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I do
just
and I don't.
Feel really...
I don't know the lady. Like, with love. Like, love your mummy. But I was 7. I've no idea who she is. She could have been a cow. Not that I think my mum's a cow.
But that's what I mean. And then I'm not sure I would have find that out. I mean, I knew my dad, but
yeah.
There were sides to him that I didn't know.
Yeah, but your dad's great. Your dad was great.
Yeah, but there were definitely sides to him that I'd probably be like, nah, mate.
Nah.
I don't want her to look down and go, oh, actually, mate.
She's never going to tell you anything nasty,
no,
though, I feel like. That's
no,
what
she
she's
did
saying.
Say that. She did say that. But I just thought it was fascinating.
Also, I think what's really important that I want to bring up, like, since Danielle's gone, is that we did have a little chat after, and she's very keen on, you know, how we mentioned that it's not therapy and it's called entertainment. It's, like, under, like, it's bracketed under entertainment. And I was just thinking, like, it's kind of, it's interesting. She was saying that, she's trying really, really hard to make that more official, which I think is really great.
Yeah,
and I think
she wants it to be certified. Which
I completely understand why people would be like not convinced or
because you don't like, get it. I didn't hard. Really get it, but I then we spoke it. To her, and now and I'm like, was like, that's amazing. Yeah. And so I think we just need to jump on this amazing this train and I like preach do as about well. It.
I do,
And I'm definitely gonna go and have a.
I think we should.
I would do that. With her.
Ooh, God, heavy man.
Heavy.
Should we take a deep breath?
Let's take a deep breath.
We like it when we do that.
I really wish I had a Halloween joke for you.
Halloween joke. Well. Do we have something else that's fun that I could do and participate in?
What? Oh, we do. Are you ready?
Yes, I am, because I feel like this one, seeing as I'm alone, I might win.
Yeah, normally we have a guest and it's, you know, a game with
but today,
two people.
Today, it's just testing my knowledge, because this is what this podcast is. It's basically Becky putting me in the hot seat and making me feel stressed.
Do you know why? Because I am so happy that I'm not ever in your position, because I have zero pop culture knowledge. It's atrocious. Everyone says, do you live under a rock? And I genuinely think I have, because all I did was just watch Swedish choirs all day growing up as a kid. I never watched Harry Potter, which I know don't fucking murder me on Halloween, but I just don't.
We're not. Yes, okay.
So anyway,
Swedish choirs, we'll get into that.
We'll get into that another
time.
Can
I just stop you for 5 seconds? I have a terrible confession to make. I'm gonna have to take Craig off my head, because Craig is causing a pressure headache that is, I feel it. So I'm just gonna,
that's really,
I'm gonna do
Craig,
one of these.
If anyone's
Craig, I love
tuning
you,
in
Craig.
Now Craig is a spider.
Craig is a spider. Maybe I could wear him around my neck. That's okay. What I'll do. Okay, right. I feel better.
So we're gonna play a game. It's the Halloween movie quote quiz.
Okay.
Oh my God, I'd be used to this.
Okay, I actually feel slightly confident because I love Halloween and I love movies.
Okay, well, question one then. Should we just go straight in?
Okay.
Okay, dun, 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 dun. What's Halloween music? Can you give me a Halloween song?
Must be this. We can't get with copyrighted.
Oh, maybe not. Frankenstein, dun, dun, dun. Frankenstein, dun, dun. Frankenstein, dun, dun. And question one. Ooh. It's alive! It's alive!
Frankenstein.
Oh. I genuinely, I didn't even realise that.
That's
sorry.
The only thing I can think of.
Oh, that's brilliant. Well done. Okay. 1 point to you.
Thank you.
What's your favourite scary movie?
What's your favourite scary movie?
It's a quote from a film.
Oh, it's a quote from a film. What's your favourite scary movie?
I actually watched
it. It's going to be like
last week.
Scream.
It is!
Oh,
I watched
yay.
It for the first time last week.
I wouldn't class it as a Halloween movie. I just class that as horror.
Okay.
But sorry.
2 points, 2 times.
Okay, so here's the thing. What I think we should do is leave a slight pause so that people can have a chance to think about it.
All right. Are you beating yourself up here because you're so good, you're quick at replying to the answers?
No.
Questions. Okay. Question three. This is my costume. It's a homicidal maniac. They look just like everyone else.
That is the Addams Family. That is a quote by Wednesday Addams. And I'm dressed as a homicidal maniac. They look like everybody else.
I've never seen that film.
Oh, that's not right.
Oh, should we move on to question four?
Okay.
I want to play a game.
That's Saw.
Yes.
Right, because that's that little jigsaw fella. I don't like him.
Haven't seen that film either.
You, are we going to have to, like, I don't know, do something? Your little Swedish upbringing is stressing me out now.
I know. Question five.
Go ahead.
I'm just going to do a fun voice.
Okay.
I'm every nightmare you've ever had. I am your worst dream come true. I am everything you are afraid of.
I love it, so spooky. I want to say like Nightmare on Elm Street, but I'm not sure. I'm actually not sure about this one.
It's It.
Oh, I don't.
That's
I've
the clown
never seen
one.
That, and I tell you for why. I do not.
That's the clown.
I do not
one.
Get involved in things with scary faces like that.
The
I had
Scream
a horrible.
Is a fairy,
I have
fairy
one of my.
Days.
One of my. No, but Scream is a mask. Like Scream is like spooky, but like that It movie with the clowns. I had a terrible experience. One of my earliest memories is being handed a plastic ring by a party clown, and never being more scared in my entire life.
I'm so sorry to go through that.
Gosh, okay, well.
Question six. I'll have your guts for garters, girl!
Oh. I'll have your guts for garters. I feel like I know it, but I'm not sure. Wait, no. I want to say The Wizard of Oz, but it's not that.
Well, it's something like Abracadabra, right?
Is it Hocus Pocus?
Yeah.
Yes! Thank you for the clue.
Right.
I appreciate that.
Haven't watched that one either. 1 point to me.
Oh my God.
Question seven.
Okay.
I'm the ghost with the most babe.
I'm the ghost with the most babe. That is that Jennifer's body? No, she's not a ghost. She's a vampire. I'm the ghost with the most. Casper? No, it's Beetlejuice.
Oh, it is. 1 point to Tash.
Oh, I'm so mad at myself for not getting that first time. I love that movie. It's so weird. What is going on? We have a freaking podcast about death, and you haven't watched any of these fun death movies.
No, because where would I?
True.
Question eight. Last one now.
It shows the difference, the ebony and ivory of our relationship.
I'll just cry to sad death songs.
She is the light, and I am the darkness. Go ahead.
I am the one who is willing to do what it takes to seize my moment, whatever it takes.
I don't know.
Do you want that again?
Yeah, okay, we have it again.
I am the one who is willing to do what it takes to seize my moment, whatever it takes.
I want to say...
It's very fitting to what's going on at the moment in the programme and what's happening next and before and throughout.
Coco. Yeah. Coco. Oh, gosh. It is spooky and...
It is kind of scary in here.
Coco. I love that movie. Should we talk about Coco a bit?
Maybe in a minute, but I just want to tell you what score you got.
Okay.
7 out of 8, mate!
Yes! Thank you so much. I've never won anything in my life. I want to thank my mum and the Academy and you.
I'm going to go to a break.
Yay!
Bye!
FUBAR Radio.
Ho, ho, ho.
We're back from the break.
It's ho-a-ho-a season, my dudes.
It's Halloween.
It's Halloween. It is the autumn. We are in...
Surrounded
the dark
by cobwebs and dark darkness and scariness.
And the dead.
The dead, which is what it's all about, isn't it, Tash?
Yeah, we love it. We love it because then that means that we get to spend some time with some people that we like.
That's really scary.
It's okay. Don't get stressed. Relax.
Relax.
All is well.
So I've heard that you've read a book, or you're reading a book recently.
I have. I am reading a book, and I am obsessed. I'm a bit late to the game, I think, because I think that a lot of people have been talking about this for a while, but...
I haven't heard about it.
Yeah, we just got to get you, like, I don't know, some kind of, like, crash course in, like, what's going on.
Like, lock me in a room. For how many years do you think I'd need to just catch up with, like, pop culture in the world?
I think you could do it in a year. You could do, like, the basics in a year. But anyway, I'm reading... I'm Glad My Mum Died by Jeanette McCurdy, who is that girl who was on iCarly. For those of you who had Disney Channel, I was not fortunate enough.
I don't think I was allowed Disney as a kid.
I wasn't allowed Disney. We were not. It was 1, 2, 3, and 4. That's all we had.
CBBC?
Oh, and CBBC.
CBBC. Yeah.
Anyway, reading this book, I'm Glad My Mum Died, I was like, ooh, should we do this? I don't know. I'm not glad my mum died. So I was a bit like, I don't know. Maybe this is going to be triggering. Not well, don't get me wrong, it's emotional. It's such an interesting read. Basically, she documents her time growing up as a child star. Like, she was on Nickelodeon from a really young age. Her mom was like super, super obsessed with kind of making her famous. And it's just such an interesting point of view about grief, because through the book, her mom basically passes away and has cancer like throughout her entire childhood, like on and off. And it's such an interesting thing about grief, because she had like an abusive parent, basically. Her mum was abusive, like really like controlled her eating and like her image, and was just very like not
horrible.
Great. And so she's named this book, I'm Glad My Mum Died. And she, I think throughout the first half of the book, she's like not glad that her mum's died, but her mum passing is like such a relief to her in a way. And the way she talks about grief is so fascinating. And I just want to talk about it because like, I think, often when you are kind of like dealing with grief, or you've had bereavement or whatever you're going through, the kind of impetus to pick up books like that is quite nerve-wracking. Like, I was like, oh, I don't know if this is gonna make me upset, but actually it's just interesting, especially with Jeanette, because she is so, the way she's written this book is so clear and concise, and like in her feelings and her thoughts and her whole take on the like the whole thing is just so interesting, and her reflectiveness of the whole experience.
Well, also
is so
I mean, I've not read the book, but I can imagine if, you know, it's very easy to kind of glorify someone who's dead, and like I think the people that talk about like us dealing with death, probably have had quite a good relationship with the person that's deceased and died. But if you, it must be a really difficult thing to navigate if you didn't have a good relationship with somebody 100%. And they die, because you must maybe feel like, I don't know, like a sense of guilt, but also like, oh, I'm guilt for being happy that she died, but also like, I don't know, that must be really difficult. And then to obviously have to put that into words.
Exactly. I mean, I just 100% would recommend it to anyone dealing with any grief, really. I mean, it's just a very interesting, she's very good at explaining how people are multitudes and how we have such duality with feelings. Like, I know that there are some days where I'm super, super sad that mum died, and like, I'm super upset about it. And then there's also days where I'm really freaking angry at her, and like, I'm almost like cross, like she had some control over her passing or whatever, that like, I have been kind of left without her on this side of the veil. But like,
you can go and see her soon.
I know, only a couple of days. Maybe I should set up a, is it an Alfredo? Alfro? It's a the like in Coco.
I love
that movie.
I only watched that last week.
Did you cry and cry and cry?
I actually didn't. Everyone told me that I was going to cry. Why did I have to cry at that film?
You didn't have to cry. I just get upset when it's like happy. So I don't really cry when it's sad, because the movie isn't necessarily sad, but it's like, sorry, going talking about Coco. But like the, it's very, the ending is very kind of like, oh, it's so lovely that they all get to see each other in the Day of the Dead, and like, it's anyway, but I cry because it's just such a sweet concept that like,
he just wants to play guitar, and that's all they want to play guitar. And that's what made me sad, because music makes you so happy, and absolutely, like the fact that someone took that away from him, and that's all he wanted to do. I think that, you know, I do like the story, but it's been a really, really fun show.
I've had a really good time.
I'm also feeling really relaxed. I'm feeling like I'm ready to conquer the week and speak, you know, be in touch with my emotions and maybe speak to the dead on Halloween. Anyway, last question. What are you going to dress up as Halloween if you could?
Well, this is what I'm struggling with. You've got 5 seconds. Oh.
5, 4.
Haunted, spooky porcelain doll. I want to be a scary Edwardian doll that's been possessed by some kind of evil spirit like Annabelle, or which I normally do on the daily, but dress up like a tiny sickly Victorian child.
Okay, well, you can do that. Send a pic and
will do.
Take a pic and send it to me.
Always.
All right.
Only for you.
All right, honey.
Stop it. Stop flirting with me.
Bye. See you next week.
Bye.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.